Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building what I like to call the Amen Science Kick Weight Method in Ableton Live 12. This is a beginner-friendly way to make a drum and bass kick that has modern punch, but still carries that dusty, vintage soul. So we're not just chasing a big kick in solo, we're building a kick that actually works in a real DNB groove, next to the snare, the sub, and the bass line. Now, why does this matter so much in drum and bass? Because the kick is part of the engine. In a roller, it has to stay deep and steady. In jungle, it often needs to feel like it grew out of a chopped break. In darker bass music, it has to hit hard without fighting the sub or getting buried by the snare. If the kick is too flat, the track feels small. If it's too long, it blurs the low end. If it's too clicky, it can sound modern but lose that old school break vibe. So the goal here is simple. Weight in the low end, punch in the transient, warmth in the tone, and enough space for the bass to breathe. Let's start by setting up a clean drum foundation. Create a MIDI track and load drum rack. Keep the layout simple. One pad for the kick, one for the snare, one for hats, and maybe a lane for Amen style slices if you want to expand later. For now, keep the kick separate from the full break. That makes it much easier to shape the attack and body without messing up the rest of the groove. Set your tempo somewhere in the drum and bass range. Around 170, 172, or 174 BPM is perfect. A nice middle ground is 172 BPM if you want a solid beginner starting point. At these speeds, the kick needs to be controlled and repeatable. Separation is your friend here. Next, choose a kick source with some natural body. Load simpler on the kick pad and drag in a kick sample. You can use a clean DNB kick, a short acoustic kick with room tone, or even a kick slice from an Amen style break if you want more character. For this style, I actually want a source that has a little dust or crackle or room in it. That imperfect quality is part of the soul. In simpler, set it to one-shot mode. If the sample already fits the tempo, you can leave warp off for now. Tighten the start so the transient begins immediately, and add just a tiny fade if you hear clicks. If it feels thin, don't worry, we're going to build the weight with layering and processing. Now add a second kick layer for the low-end body. This is where the kick gets its weight. Use another simpler pad with a short, clean kick sample that has a strong fundamental. If you can, choose one that sits well with your track key, but don't stress too much as a beginner. The important part is that the low layer is short and controlled. Set the amp envelope so the decay is somewhere around 80 to 160 milliseconds. Keep sustain down or off, and use a short release. The idea is to add body, not a long tail. In drum and bass, if the kick lingers too long, it starts fighting the sub and making the groove sloppy. If you want to think about this in a really useful way, split your kick into two jobs. The front edge gives you the punch and click, and the tail gives you the body. A strong DNB kick usually has a sharp front edge and a tail that gets out of the way quickly. Now let's shape the kick with EQ8. Put EQ8 on the kick chain and clean up the problem areas. Start with a high pass below 25 to 30 Hz to remove rumble that you don't actually need. If the kick sounds muddy, try a small dip around 180 to 300 Hz. And if you want a little more attack, a small boost somewhere around 2 to 5 kHz can help. Keep those moves subtle. In DNB, too much high end can make the kick fight the snare and hats. And if the kick is too long, it's usually better to go back to simpler and shorten the decay rather than trying to EQ the sustain away. Now it's time for the vintage soul part. Add saturator and give the kick a little drive. This is where you start getting that Amen Science flavor. We're not trying to destroy the kick. We're just adding harmonic density so it feels a bit thicker, a bit dirtier, and a bit more alive. Try drive around 2 to 6 dB, turn soft clip on, and lower the output so the level stays under control. If you want even more body, you can follow that with drum bus. Keep it gentle, a little drive, a subtle amount of boom, and maybe a touch more transient if the kick needs extra snap. This works really well in drum and bass, because saturation helps the kick stay audible on smaller systems and through dense bass layers. It also gives the drums a more sampled, lived-in feel. Next, use glue compressor to make the two layers behave like one kick. Keep it light. Use a ratio like 2 to 1, an attack around 3 or 10 milliseconds, and release on auto or something fairly quick. Aim for just 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction. We want control, not flattening. This is a super common beginner mistake, overcompressing because the kick seems inconsistent. But in drum and bass, the punch usually comes from a good source sound and smart shaping, not from crushing the life out of it. If the kick feels soft, check the transient at the source first before reaching for more compression. Now let's control the low end with utility. Put utility at the end of the kick chain and keep the kick in mono. Set the width to 0% or close to it. This is really important in sub-heavy music. The kick and the sub-bass need to act like a stable foundation, and stereo low-end can cause phase issues that make the track feel weaker. If you want stereo character, keep that in the upper part of the sound or in room ambience, not in the fundamental. The low-end should stay locked dead center. Now bring the kick into a simple drum and bass groove. Place the kick on beat 1, then add a snare on 2 and 4. If you want that classic forward motion, place a lighter kick or a break pickup just before the snare. You can also add small amen style hits after the snare or before the next bar to create movement. A good beginner pattern might be kick on 1, a light pickup before 2, snare on 2, a small ghost hit after the snare, then another kick before 4 or on the end before 4. Keep the break slices lower in volume and let the kick do the heavy lifting. The break gives character, but the kick gives authority. At this point, stop and listen in context. Don't judge the kick in solo anymore. Put it next to the bass and snare. Ask yourself, does the kick hit clearly before the bass note starts? Does the snare still feel bigger than the kick? Is the low end stable in mono? And does the groove push forward without sounding crowded? That context check is huge. A kick that sounds amazing by itself can still fail in the full mix if it's fighting the bass or crowding the snare. If the kick overlaps too much with the bass, shorten the decay. If it sounds fuzzy, reduce the saturation. If the mix feels cloudy, trim some low mids. Make one change at a time. In drum and bass, small decisions add up fast. Now for a little movement. Once the main kick is working, automate it subtly so the groove feels alive. You could raise saturator, drive a tiny amount in the second half of a drop. You could add a little more presence with EQ 8 during a variation. You could increase drum bus transient for a fill or transition. You could even use auto filter if you want the kick to feel darker in the intro and more open in the drop. Keep these moves small. We're talking tiny changes, not dramatic redesigns. The kick should stay recognizable while the track evolves around it. A few coach notes here before we wrap up. First, monitor at a sensible volume. Drum and bass low end can trick you into overdoing it when you're listening too loud. If the kick only sounds huge when you blast the speakers, it's probably too much. Second, work in short loops, not full arrangements. A two-bar loop with kick, snare, and bass will show timing and low-end clashes much faster than solo listening. And third, match the kick to the bass roll. If your bass is really sub-heavy, keep the kick more mid-punch focused. If the bass is thinner or more moving, the kick can carry a bit more body. A great beginner test is to mute one kick layer at a time. If the combined sound gets weaker instead of stronger, you may be hitting phase cancellation. Trust your ears first. That's the fastest way to catch it. If you want to go one step further, try making three versions of the same kick. One clean version with just EQ and tight shaping. One dusty version with saturation and a quiet amen layer. And one heavier version with a stronger transient and a bit more body. Then test all three against the same snare, bass, and hat groove. You'll learn very quickly which kick works best for a roller, which one feels right for a jungle rebuild, and which one leaves the most room for the bass. So let's recap the big idea. The Amen Science kick weight method is about blending modern punch with vintage break soul. Use layered kick sources to get weight and character. Shape the transient with simpler EQ8, saturator, drum bus, and glue compressor. Keep the kick mono and controlled in the low end. Build the groove around the snare, bass, and break context. And use subtle automation to keep the drums alive without changing the identity of the sound. If you do this right, your kick stops sounding like a random sample and starts sounding like part of a real drum and bass system. And that's the move. Tight, heavy, soulful, and ready for the drop.